sun left. And nobody else to worry about tomorrow. You can't look back and worry about today. And I can't forget you if I try. If I try.
Man, I wish I were listening to some music right now. Oh, wait. You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hello, everybody. I hope everyone had such a lovely summer discovering a bunch of new artists during the break. Moni is so excited to be back, and all of our DJs are sincerely looking forward to starting up all of their shows starting this week. Make sure to stay tuned for all of your favorite student, community, and faculty-led shows coming back onto the air throughout the week, only on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Make sure to stay cool, have a lovely start to your semester, and keep it locked.
You are now listening to Oneonta Voices here on WONY Oneonta. This show is a production of the On NY Community Media Lab at SUNY Oneonta. I am your host, Jacqueline Carlo, and today my guest in the studio is Will Rivera, town supervisor for the town of Oneonta.
Hi, Jacqueline. Thank you all for having me, and shout out to all of my fellow Red Dragons.
And then we're going to jump right in with our first question. We're going to start with the data center. Where does the town currently stand on the data center, and what are, like, your next steps the board is considering?
Thanks. So we're jumping right in to the good stuff. As many know, the town of Oneonta was one of the first municipalities, if not the first, that enacted a moratorium on data centers. And so right now we are still looking over a lot of the information to see what our next steps will be as a board. And we're getting closer and closer to that. But also the state has also enacted through an executive order from Governor Hochul, the first in the country statewide moratorium as well.
Oh, wow. And then can you walk me through how the town's position on the data center has evolved throughout, like, this year in general? And what factors have influenced the decision to either move forward or step back from it?
So I have only been in my role, 8 months now? And as soon as I came on to my position in my new seat, we were really focused immediately on addressing the data center, right, based on a lot of the feedback we received from the community. We all were immediately aligned with enacting a ban. I believe, in my opinion, we were ahead of the game just because my other professional side of what I do, you know, I already had the moratorium done, you know, like mm-hmm. 4 months ago to provide to them. And so, we really had great discussions on it and moved quickly, though.
Yeah. And then is there a timeline for when residents can expect a decision on what comes next?
So we are hoping to figure this out sooner than later. But again, the statewide executive order has us a little bit more reserved just so we can see what comes out of there so then we don't have to change anything twice, right? So, but if that ends up taking too long, we will try to get this wrapped up soon.
Yeah. And then moving into another topic about the West End study, It was mentioned that the town is also looking at opportunities. What are you hoping the West End study will accomplish, and what opportunities do you see for that area?
Yeah, actually, so the university is a partner with us on that. Carolina Williams has been working with us on that, so we really appreciate the university support with that. And so we received $40,000 to create a study on the West End. And so we're really looking at the West End of Oneonta, which is kind of like from McDonald's and the old McDonald's and Chestnut down to Stewart's and Oneida by the Trooper Barracks up to like where almost like West Oneonta begins and then back down to the old Chestnut and within the town. And so within that area, we are looking at what we can do to revitalize that, really make it a walkable economic development that can cater to, you know, many of the needs that come along with smart growth and smart development. And so right now we have engaged a steering committee with individuals from all across the sectors. So, you know, nonprofits, small business, large business, the arts, cannabis, film, so individuals with all of these different areas to really get their feedback. And we have we're almost about to roll out a survey to townwide residents, also city residents, because it's honestly the greater of Oneonta, to see what people would like to see there, what they wouldn't like to see there, to get a lot of data on it, right? Yeah. And our ultimate goal is to then have a robust report on this, but also we're preparing to submit in October, November, whenever it's announced, for the New York State a Downtown Revitalization Initiative to hopefully get an application in for, officially it's not announced yet, but if it's based on history, about $10 million.
Wow, that's amazing. And then, like, the next question was going to be, like, particular types of businesses you could think would benefit the West End.
Oh, gosh. We could ask so many different people. We'll get so many different responses. I mean, you know, if I'm speaking from what, many people share, I mean, people want to see things for children to do. People would like to see a grocery store has always been asked over there on that side of town, but it would be also really great to see like, mixed use space type housing. I also would love to see like some sort of gathering place, art, place to listen to live music. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants more food, right? I mean, I think everyone loves that. And but I also think it's an opportunity to really create, this whole unique food experience that many, students, I would say, young professionals. I mean, I'm an older professional and I love food. And so, I mean, I would love to go to like a food hall or like these unique opportunities to really thrive and also bring in new businesses, new residents as well.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Oneonta Voices on WONY Oneonta. I'm Jacqueline Carlo, and I'm here with Will Rivera, Oneonta Town Supervisor. And we're going to move in to, you've talked about pushing to work with the county to take another look at the current sales tax formula. Can you explain how the existing formula works and why you believe it may no longer make sense for the town today?
Yeah, you really hit him with all the good and hard questions.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll see who's listening out there. Right now, the way the formula works is so any sales tax that's generated here in Otsego County goes to Otsego County. And then Otsego County then disperses it. But the way they disperse it to local towns and municipalities is based on property value. And so whatever your local property values are, is not based on the actual generation of sales tax within your municipality. And the reason why I'm talking about this is because many of the residents have been coming to me saying, hey, why can't we get this? Why can't we fix this? Mm-hmm. Why do we have an outdated truck, right? Or why can't I get our water fixed immediately? You know, whatever the problems is. And the reason that I say back to them is that actually we would love to have all of that. But anything that we do that's, you know, an increase to the budget mm-hmm. is a potential increase to the tax burden of our residents. And, you know, we're living in one of the most, in my opinion, historical economic situations for New York, where everyone is facing affordability issues, yeah. right? Everything is too damn expensive mm-hmm. and nothing is being done about it, respectfully, in my yeah. opinion. You know, I have heard that from many people. Myself, you know, I feel it, you know, my friends feel it, family mm-hmm. feel it. And, you know, I think in my role, I would not be doing my service as an advocate, right? You know, to not fight for, mm-hmm. All the resources for my community. And so what is happening currently is that when all those taxes go to the county, all the sales tax revenue goes to the county, right off the bat, the city of Oneonta gets 12% because it's a pre-exemption that was created in 1991. And that's allowed because they're a city. And so they came to an agreement with the Otsego County in 1991 where they have that. So the city gets 12% automatically, and then the county gets the remainder of it, and then the county shares a portion of their portion to other municipalities based on the property tax values, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. a fun fact is the town of Oneonta gets the same amount. No, the town of Oneonta gets less than the town of Otsego, right? And exactly, right? And just for the listeners out there, there was like a face of confusion. Just going to yeah. picture out, right? So, and many people feel that same way when I'm talking about this, especially yeah. our residents, because they're like, wait, our infrastructure is being used. We're the ones who have to, you know, work along with many, you know, visitors throughout the summer, or more noise, or whatever the issues are for that person. And so all I'm asking for is just to have a new look at the formula, right?
Yeah.
At this point, it's an archaic formula that honestly is very inequitable. We need to really just look at that. Just look at the data. Let's get the formulas out there, because it's really not there. But it has been shared, and I mean, many can see that, you know, about 70% of the sales tax revenue that's generated for the county comes from the town of Oneonta. And, you know, we, in my opinion, should have a little more extra so then we can support our communities with things that they're asking for.
Yeah. And then, like, to do that eventually, like, what would those, like, next steps look like for you, like, in the board members or whoever's, like, looking through this stuff?
Yeah, so this initiative is supported by all my board members, honestly, supported by all my staff, supported by County Representative Hinchy, who is the town of Oneonta County Representative. And we have, you know, got great feedback from others as well. And so we presented to the Otsego County Admin Committee about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We presented that to them, basically saying, hey, this is what we see. You know, this is all we're asking for. We're not asking for any specific amounts or any percentages. We're just asking for it to be relooked for all, because it would be, I would potentially imposing the same inequity that I'm fighting for on others. Mm-hmm. And so let's just, like, come to the table, have a discussion on it. And I shared, Representative Hinchy shared, you know, that we're not saying that we're not going to do the work. We would be happy to be part of the conversation, support all the efforts, but it can be changed. I mean, I think last year, both Putnam and Ulster County changed their formulas through the same process, just getting the data, looking at it, reviewing it, having discussions on it, and determining what's the next step.
Yeah. And then we're going to change a little bit here and talk about the Cooperstown All-Star Village. Looking to expand, like, for more facilities. I looked it up earlier, like, talking about, like, a new baseball field, I think. Mm-hmm. So what has been the reaction from, like, the town board and even, like, the committee?
So Well, there's no committee.
Well, the community.
Oh, no, sorry. No, just making sure I'm on the same page. Yes. So right now, we're in the process. Like, one, I'm very limited in what I can share, right?
Yeah.
But we are, we've held a public hearing, and the planning board will be holding one next as well. And then the town board will as well. And so we're just really looking at everything, gathering comments, mm-hmm. feedback, and just getting in the depth of it. But many, committee members have shared, the benefits, the pros, mm-hmm. the cons. I think, and I hope, the residents understand that, I hear it, right? Mm-hmm. I hear their concerns. I'm listening. We take it into consideration, and that, their voices aren't going unheard.
Mm-hmm. And then, the next question was going to be about, the benefits possibly of the expansion or challenges it may create. I know you haven't, gotten that far with it. If there is anything about it you could talk about, though?
I don't believe I can, talk mm-hmm. about that yet yeah. at that point. But I would just say that, the applicant, mm-hmm. Cooperstown All-Star Village, they have been very vocal that if anyone has questions, feedback, comments, that they would be willing to talk to anyone about this. Yeah. And so I encourage others to take them up on that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And then there was concern about, the flock cameras. What specific concerns do you have or others that have come forward about this technology?
Yeah. So for me, most people don't even see my other side of it that I have, right, beyond what people are seeing regarding just the mass surveillance concerns. I, in my, work in previous work in policy and stuff, it was focused on technology facilitated violence, gender-based violence, and the support of those affected by that harm. And so, when we allow technology to really go unaccountable, right, to grow without no benchmarks or guardrails, that's when all sorts of bad actors can use that technology for harm, right? And also good could come out of it, but that's not what we're seeing with this specific form of technology, and which is going unchecked, right? They're popping up in places that no one even knew that they had, that are there, right? Mm-hmm. And, when you see those specific cameras, pointing at children's playgrounds, pointing at pools, or places that typically don't even have vehicles, it does draw concern, right? Because that's who's on the other end, mm-hmm. right? If it's not a, what are the safeguards? What are the guardrails associated with whoever's accessing that? Mm-hmm. And we have seen, nationwide the harm that has occurred from that.
Yeah.
And for me, it's I don't want to take an opportunity for just one, if one person got hurt because of something and I just turn a blind eye on it. I mean, I'm not doing everything that I would say I would do mm-hmm. whenever I can have an opportunity to help someone. Yeah. And so if that means addressing this specific technology, absolutely I will. And I'm not afraid to do that. I think, based on the feedback that I've received from the community, a lot of people feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. And then are there any issues that have been currently being discussed that the community or many people may not know of due to other issues going on that are heavily discussed?
I'm trying to think. That's a good question. You got me. I wouldn't say that. I would just say that there's just so much within the role that many people don't, understand. Right. And we have a small team. Right. But one of the most dedicated, in my opinion, municipality staff within the county.
Mm-hmm.
And, small team of six is operating a town that is, generating millions of dollars of that are benefiting everyone throughout the mm-hmm. county. Right. We have individuals from 3-4 counties around us coming to our areas to shop, eat, attend events. They have previous staff, previous administrations have really built that to happen. Yeah. And so now we're at the point where, you know, we don't have that much more space to put things. And so we have to focus on, you know, how are we going to sustain what we have? Mm-hmm. How are we going to have, you know, accurately monitor things or work on the improvements? And so that's what people aren't seeing. So when we have to, you know, handle water breaks, we have to handle, you know, a major water issue in one of our neighborhoods that should have been addressed years ago. And, you know, but, you know, we only have one water operator, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how to handle, increase in prices in salt, steel, asphalt, things that are being affected that we use every day. And so those increases of prices, now we have to manage a tighter budget, mm-hmm. right? And also make sure to not increase taxes, right? Like, we want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to not do that. And I think myself, along with the county and other municipalities, are going to probably have a very tough year and probably another, you know, tough few years.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Oneonta Voices on WONY Oneonta. I am Jacqueline Carlo, and I'm here with Will Rivera, Oneonta Town Supervisor. So kind of relating to the last question we kind of talked about, like, issue-wise, are there any, like, bigger issues than the ones already being discussed that are, like, even, like, are being more discussed, like, heavily during meetings, or it's mainly still, like, the data center and stuff like that?
So we are only allowed to do business as a full board in open sessions. And so that means we only meet typically once a month mm-hmm. To do our committee work and then for the full board meeting. Every now and then we do call special meetings to address certain things, but you're only allowed to talk about those specific things. And so as much as we would want to do all of these things, you know, we are limited on what we can do. But we can also change the schedule, things like that, but also being mindful that, you know, most of my board members have other full-time jobs.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I have a full-time job on top of this full-time job as a supervisor. And, you know, it's set up in a way that only individuals that retire could do this kind of job, yeah. right? And that's just a whole nother conversation for another day. Having to navigate all of that and being mindful and just, you know, what's priority, what isn't, you know, what else we're looking at. I mean, we have discussed, you know, issues around solar panels. We have discussed issues around noise, you know, addressing the operating of our pool, staffing, as much as I want to say, like, this set thing that we talk about all the time, at times and lately most of the time, it feels that we have to jump to, put that back on the back burner, and because we have to deal with these other immediate things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then out of all the issues and topics that we, like, kind of discussed, is there one that you or, like, the board members are most concerned with or think the town, like, should be more focused on?
I think for us, we are at a point where we're feeling a sense of, like, overwhelming, right? I would think is that, you know, the town has grown so much and we're continuously seeing, you know, complicated projects, seeing, you know, when, you know, several of the most difficult applications they have seen in history, and navigating that again in, you know, some of, you know, planning board, their volunteers, navigating full-time jobs, family life, with these things has been, I wouldn't say difficult, but it has been overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure that out, right? Like, how can we really look at streamlining? How can we modernize? How can we make things easier with what we have now and get through things so that we can hopefully have a sense of relief mm-hmm. for a little bit? But I think what we're seeing in general, and again, I talk it to others, you know, just through the work I do, is that there's only so much space in New York, right? And so we're at a point where now I think, you know, upstate, more rural New York is getting more focused on some development projects, which is great. You know, we want that. We want to see everyone eating. But also, I've also seen on the other end that many municipalities, you know, aren't as prepared because they don't have that full-time staff. Mm-hmm. Right. We don't have a full time planner. We don't have a full time engineer. You know, we have one code officer. We have one water operator. You know, we have, you know, one town clerk, one bookkeeper, you know, all mm-hmm. these kinds of things that many that were operating the same way that we are would have a good team of 20 to 30, right? You know, and so just trying to figure that all out and obviously just not putting that burden back on the taxpayers.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving into some more like kind of general questions, how does the town board make sure like residents' voices are being heard when major decisions are being made or just new topics being brought up?
Honestly, I get lots of emails. I'm walking, you know, outside. I get stopped. People talk to me, which is great, right? That's what we're here for. I appreciate that time as well. And so, you know, that's always an opportunity for people to talk with us. I mean, you know, we're not, in my opinion, elected official for only 2 hours a month, right? You're there all day, every day.
Yeah.
And so if people ask you questions or whatever, it's your, in my opinion, our role mm-hmm. to be that steward for our community. One of the ways that I think I've tried to facilitate that conversation, or we try to facilitate that conversation, is as much as I can, you know, everything is on our website for people to see, yeah. right? And I think that was an ask for mm-hmm. a lot of people. And so I put as much as I can on there. There's minutes now.
Yep, minutes.
There's agendas. There's committee minutes as well. From my understanding, it wasn't happening. Instead of someone having a foil of document, it's public knowledge. Like, just like put it out there for everyone to see. That's just my personal feeling. My belief in my role as mm-hmm. in this position. And so, you know, we have really, this administration has really fostered that and just had honest conversations with people wherever they're at. And, you know, I many people come to the meetings, you know, share their comments. I tell everyone, you know, hey, come here too at this mm-hmm. hearing as well. It can't just be me. Please come here and share that. And it's been great to see.
Mm-hmm. And then what is one of the best ways for residents to get involved with the town government or like in general? Obviously, you can go to many of the meetings and look stuff up online because now, like you said, you have all those meeting minutes. But what would be like the best way for people to get more involved?
I would say when there's ever like calls for like applications or task force. Or ways to like volunteer or get involved. That's always a way, right? Like one of the big things that I heard, you know, was short-term rentals, right? And so came on, and the administration, we implemented a task force to address that. And this task force has been working on, you know, doing a robust review of how to create a balance so that, you know, we are addressing as many issues that support all, right? Mm-hmm. And with that said, there was a call for applications that went out for individuals that wanted to be a part of this task force. And so they were all accepted, you know, reviewed, scored, however it was. I wasn't part of that situation, you know, it was important for me to make sure that we at least provided everyone an opportunity to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this is more of a question for you and yourself. Like, what made you want to become a town supervisor? What made you want to, like, run in this position?
For me, I'm trying to how to say this without, like, getting FCC involved. the climate around what is happening in a lot of places made me angry. And, you know, just because of the work I do professionally, I understand that local impact can feel quicker. That was my biggest feeling personally for me was to do that and also to give back, right? You know, this community supported me when I was fighting my cancer. And I felt, in my opinion, that this was an opportunity to kind of lead with where we're putting the people first, you know, advocating for what's right, and also bringing that leadership style that I have. It's like, okay, like, it's not about me. Like, please come over here, you know, be a part of this as well. You don't understand or you don't know, we'll teach you. We'll go over it with you. And so it was a mixture of all of that, right? And so I think, you know, my ultimate goal is to for people to see, you know, that they can do it too, right? You can be a part of this. You know, you can support wherever you're at. And that even though you may not feel comfortable or you may not understand or feel like you don't have experience doing this, all those things are untrue. But however comfortable you feel, you're able to participate. And so our goal as an administration is to really provide a safe space for people to participate however it works for them.
Yeah, that's great. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Oneonta Voices on WONY Oneonta. I'm Jacqueline Carlo, and I'm here with Will Rivera, Oneonta Town Supervisor. And we'll get in another question of, what do you enjoy most about serving in this position?
There's too many. You got me. So I would say what I enjoy most is I've been learning so much, right? And I think the way my brain operates, I mean, like, I go like 1,000, right? And I just need to be always doing something. I've been learning so much and covering so many things that I probably would have never even discussed, right? From, you know, learning about a water district and manganese, right? Or like within water, and to figuring out the depth of a pool. And, you know, it's been awesome to see all of that, right? And that's been fun. And I think the next thing for me has been actually being able to draft legislation, right? Like, do policy. Because that's what I do, right? Like, I do that for a living. But I think doing it in an elected role, where you're seeing communities being, getting relief quicker. Yeah. Right. Which I've always said that for so long. But then seeing it, you know, within your own town or being a part of that, you know, in that elected seat with your administration has been an awesome feeling for me as well.
Mm-hmm. And then what would you say has been one of like your biggest challenges of being town supervisor?
Time. There is not enough time. And, you know, again, between all the things I do and the depth of this position, honestly, it is unfair for anyone to have this position and do it at a very, if you break down the amount of hours, it's like $5 an hour, right? Yeah. Like versus the pay. And I'll say it, I don't care. It's $25,000 for the whole year at that rate. Town board members get $7,000. And it was even less than that before. And so if we break down that $25,000 and people expect that I'm in an office always 40 hours a week, right? Which can't happen because I have another job. Mm-hmm. But if you break that down, I'm always working. I mean, it's 2026, right? We have phones, we have everything. We can do everything remotely. And it comes down to like not even minimum wage, right? And so that in itself is honestly unfair, right? And it's not just in my town. I mean, the supervisor role in itself is so vast, and I couldn't imagine how others are doing it at an equivalent town of our size and depth, only living off of that whatever rate they can get versus it being an actual full-time salary. And so the time it takes has been compounded by, you know, the time I have to, you know, work as well. And so a lot of late nights, weekends, early mornings, you know, before you start your job, and, you know, time away from family. I mean, you know, at being in these positions or any voluntary positions, something's got to give. And, you know, as much as you try and say that it's not going to, they do suffer. And it is time away. And I'm sure my wife and daughter at times enjoy the time away. And at times they feel a certain way about it. Right. And it's just a balance that you have to figure out. And, you know, thankfully, they're very encouraging and understanding and supportive. But, you know, the systems that are in place for these really don't make it a way for that not to happen.
Yeah. And then we're here in the SUNY Oneonta student radio station, and we're at the start of a new academic year. Many of our listeners are, in fact, college students. What would you like to say to Oneonta's college student population, both SUNY and then Hartwick as well?
What do you mean? What I'd like to say to them?
What would you like to say to them, or what would you like them to know about the town of Oneonta?
Well, first, I'd like to let them all know is, you know, for my fellow Red Dragons, I, you know, graduated from SUNY Oneonta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I graduated from SUNY Oneonta. My wife graduated from SUNY Oneonta. I was a university council member here for the college for several years. So, you know, SUNY Oneonta is like embedded in me, right? I graduated. I lived here ever since. I came up with my wife because I had nowhere other place to go. And you know, it's been a great place, right? Yeah. And I love it. Raising my daughter here, you know, put my first home here and my only home. Honestly, I don't know why I said first. And so I do want to tell, you know, everyone that's here is like it's beautiful. Right. I understand some may feel like it's boring or anything like that. I would hear that. But there's more to it than what others typically would do for their recreational time. And I'm just, you know, kind of like saying that very overtly. But listen, I was a college student. You know, I did a lot of things here, too, as well. And so there is more to that, though, once we're moved that past that. But I also do, you know, want to create spaces for not just the college students currently, but also when they decide to stay here, right? You know, when they graduate, you know, can they find a job here? Is there a place for them to live, you know, without having to, you know, go back home wherever there is to live with their parents or their caregivers or friends and family because they can't afford to live on their own. And so, like, for me, that's important because, you know, I have that opportunity. And I think all, you know, of our local college students should have that opportunity as well so they can, you know, stay in a place that they hopefully love as well.
Yeah, of course. And then how can young people get more involved in our local community?
So I know that some of the classes and colleges here, both at Hartwick and SUNY Oneonta, do some sort of leadership things with like the city of Oneonta, I want to say. So I know there's something going on there. We, through the media department last year, had several students filming our, you were one of them, filming or attending our meetings for to cover the journal, create journalist pieces on it, film the meetings and do it like a really nice edited a video of that for our residents, which many people loved. And so that is always helpful. And honestly, it's like any way that we can get help to make our lives easier for our residents is great. I mean, we don't have, I can just name things. We don't have graphic designers. We don't have content creators. You know, we don't have, honestly, a grounds crew or if people wanted to learn how to install solar panels or whatever, you know, there's just so much that we don't have that typical places. If you look at it, you know, our neighboring city of Oneonta has, you know, there's multiple ways to do that. And I would say just beyond the governance piece of it, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities. And if people are just interested, just reach out. I mean, I'm sure there's many people that I can talk to in the community and just say, hey, we got a group of kids, or, you know, I shouldn't say kids, young adults who want to, you know, volunteer their time bagging, you know, somebody's lawn for their leaves for the fall, whatever it is, or shovel snow, or drop off some food. Right. There are a lot of opportunities versus the traditional ways if you connect the two, like government and student roles.
Yeah. And was there anything else you would like to add for, I mean, I guess anything. I mean,
We got 10 minutes.
I know. Okay. I don't know.
Do some random shooting of questions.
Let me think. What was your major in college?
Criminal justice.
Really?
Yep. I was a criminal justice major. I think I was one of the first graduating classes of criminal justice here in SUNY Oneonta.
Did you have like a minor or was it only a major?
It was only a major. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Criminal justice. What was your like first job out of college?
So I worked at Opportunities for Otsego. I was a crime victim advocate there, and literally that's spearheaded my career. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
They were a great organization, great program. I worked there for 15 years or something like that, and you know, just moved on to other opportunities. Mm-hmm. After that.
Yeah. How'd you really get into like the politics, like end of like things?
So I learned very quickly that in order to make change, you have to go after those who empower to make that change for you. And you do that through public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, instead of, you know, focusing in on, oh, you know, we only need this specifically. Now, what if I went and passed a legislative bill or got mm-hmm. a full budget item, you know? And so I've learned to make a greater impact, right? And not just for, let's say, Otsego County, but for mm-hmm. all of New York. And, you know, I've been very successful in that, helping pass many pieces of legislation and bring in millions of dollars locally and statewide, and also passing legislation outside of New York as well, in my roles. And so that has been very helpful. And I've, you know, learned that I'm good at it. And I just came into it in a non-traditional way, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't go to school for that. It was just out of pure, aggravation mm-hmm. of not seeing things happen. And so it's like, you know what? I'm going to go make it happen myself. And had many individuals who kind of like show me the ropes and learned through them, and just gained so many friends and relationships from it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why when I ran, I had a lot more experience that people even realized in these spaces. And of course, I used those resources and skills to successfully win and hopefully win again.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I ended up doing that as
yeah.
well. And then currently, I'm also the New York State Democratic Party representative for the Assembly District 122. So mm-hmm. that is our district here.
Yeah.
And so I also represent us with the State Democratic Party as well.
Oh. Okay. And then let's see. You said you met your wife here.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She's a early education major as well.
Oh, is mm-hmm. she a teacher around here?
She is. She's a teacher for 15 plus years here in the Oneonta City School District.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Do you think your kid will go to SUNY Oneonta?
I don't know. We'll see. The SUNY Oneonta is great. Like I tell everyone, it is an amazing school. Obviously I'm more jaded and biased to it, but it really is. I mean, continuously seeing ranked, you know, in one of the top spaces.
Yeah.
The university has done an amazing job, and I will, you know, will love anyone to come here.
Mm-hmm.
But if my own daughter would be here, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
She'll probably want to be too far away from me.
Oh.
And I say too far because I don't know if I'm going to, you know, allow that.
Oh, gosh. maybe she'll go out of state. Who knows? I went to community college before I came here, so.
So did I.
Yeah. What else?
I'll ask you a question.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So, you know, you attended some of our town board meetings.
Yes, I did.
And what did you think? What was your experience?
So, I'm also from a very small town And I've never gone to a single board meeting in my life. I've never really done anything with, like, politics or any stuff like that. So I'd asked my dad before I went. I was like, I'm going to a board meeting. Like, not that I'm like, oh, I don't know what to expect, but I was like, who knows? So my first one was actually in November, I think, yeah, of 2025. Or, no, yeah, 2025. That was when I first went. I actually had a great time. It was very interesting. It was actually very packed. That was when I learned about the data center because I had no clue. And that's another thing. Like, we all go to school here, but I will say, like, we probably should get more. Or no, I mean, it really doesn't matter. But I've never been that interested in politics enough to, like, look for myself. So, but this is an interesting thing for me, and a great opportunity for me to learn things about Oneonta that I didn't know before. So the data center was interesting. The second board meeting I went to was about Habitat for Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That one I searched up when I got home because I was like, wow, like, what is this? So I don't know. It was very interesting. It was cool to see that, like, the community sitting down would immediately stand up and be like, yes, like, this is what we're talking about today. And I'm like, wow. And I did, like, oh, they had a full agenda up there. And then at one point I did see, I think it was the second time I went, the students were filming too, which I was like, oh my gosh, we're all from SUNY Oneonta. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's so cool. But yeah, I had a great time. I would probably do it again. But yeah.
Second Wednesday of every month, 7 o'clock.
I do know.
Yeah, everyone, you know, open, please. Anyone who wants to, all the listeners out there, feel free to come. You don't have to live within the town.
Yeah.
Anyone can come and check it out, participate. Yeah. It's an open space, so please do that. You know, and on the topic of, you know, young individuals not wanting to get involved in politics, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, I think we have to, right? Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of however we feel, we have to, because that is what dictates your everyday life, right? Mm-hmm. That dictates your what's happening at your local school. It dictates what's happening in your library, you know, the housing that's available for you. All these things that, you know, are connected to our everyday life. That's what politics is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to, you know, really be paying attention to that. And I wish I could do more of getting the information out.
Yeah.
But again, it's just a team of me, right? I don't have a full comms team. You know, I look at all of these amazing individuals that are spreading so much great information, and that all, you know, the younger generations are just loving and eating up. But I can't do it. And I try to do it, and I feel like I'm really cheesy with my videos or certain things. But I think, you know, we're entering a new way of politics.
Yeah.
So I think individuals really should be paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And at minimum, just learning who the candidates are that are on the ballot for you locally, right?
Yeah.
You know, and not just locally, we have midterms coming up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we got to get everyone out there to really, you know, take advantage of their democratic right to vote, and really be engaged in that, right? Like, your vote is your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And to sit back and say, oh, well, it doesn't affect me. It does, as we have all seen, you know, all the things that are really hurting us, right?
Yeah.
Regarding affordability and just other, you know, decisions. And so, you know, it's not just, we call them down ballot races.
Mm-hmm.
Down ballot are usually like your county seats, your town and local seats, things like that. And then versus your state and federal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the state side, obviously you would have your assembly, your senators, your comptroller, your attorney general, your governor, right? And then obviously at the federal level, you will have your congressional representatives, your Senate representatives. And so all those things are up for election this year. And so we need to get individuals out there to vote, you know, register to vote if you're not, do mailing vote if you are not going to be able to go home.
Mm-hmm.
You could also do the waiver to vote here and have it transferred over there. As well. And so there's many opportunities to do that. And just people really need to engage in that. And that's just a way to do that. And, you know, I, you know, understand that. And I think what the way I use my platform or any sense of power or privilege that I have is to share that with others and to lead and train others so then that they will do it next, right? Because I don't want to be doing this forever, right? You know, and I also don't want to be doing it alone forever. And so the more individuals that we can create, the more grassroots organizing, the more individuals that are coming out to speak out, you know, issues that they're against or what they're for, right? That's beautiful. And we do need more of that. So I encourage everyone to participate and join in. And if anyone has questions, you know, as my, you know, just my role, I'm happy to share with anyone how they can get engaged.
Yeah. I didn't even know you could vote here until last year. I learned that you could like switch it so you could vote in a different area. And I was just like, wow, I didn't know that was like, I didn't really know that was a thing, which I feel like I should have, but it's okay. I mean, I registered to vote when I was in high school, like senior year. My economics teacher actually, or government teacher. He had us all like take like a quiz online and figure out what side you'd agree with. And then like, but I mean, he wasn't like, oh, you have to do that or whatever. But then like when he brought in papers for us to fill out and then we all mailed them in, which I was like, that's a great opportunity, for people to do that at that age. So then I never had to worry about, oh, register for voting. And then all my friends were like, oh my God, I have to register for voting. I'm like, nope, I already did it. So, but yeah, I didn't know you could vote here. I did learn that last year, actually, from Dr. Bottomley, and that I did a news article on it. But yeah, did you want to add anything else?
Well, you could sign up. You could register to vote at 16, actually, too.
Really?
So you can even register. You're not eligible to vote, but you can sign up and register to vote when you're at 16. And also, you know, we can vote early, right? That is just one of the, in my opinion, it just makes it so much easier. I mean, I can do it beyond one day, right? I can do it on my lunch break. I could do it on the weekend, on the evening. And so I think the vote early piece is honestly a beautiful opportunity. In New York, we do get time off to go vote, right? Like there's we have a law that's passed for us to go take the time off to vote on election day as well. But I think, you know, I know why people only want to vote on election day. Totally get it. But personally, you know, with someone, family, jobs, responsibilities, early vote is amazing. And so I encourage everyone to get out there and vote early and come out, you know, in numbers.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We're reporting for the On NY Community Media Lab at SUNY Oneonta. I'm Jacqueline Carlo, and thanks for listening.
This was Jaguar. Cyclone
Wow, that was a great hit.
Not as good as the hits they play on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta.
So true. Keep it locked.
Do you know what that is? That's the sound of your classmate forwarding a picture from your profile to everyone he knows. A college student downloading all your pictures to his hard drive. A teacher wondering what you were thinking. Some guys posting graphic comments about your body and what they do with it. Your neighbor printing out your latest pictures for his collection. A man spending some alone time with your picture while no one else is around. And worst of all, your dad seeing a photo of you topless. All because of the time you posted those pictures on your profile. Anything you post online, anyone can see. Family, friends,